Well, just looking back at the US over the past week, it's a story of somewhat softer economic readings, but still with some which are starting to edge up a little bit. The ones that are edging up a little bit relate to consumer sentiment and consumer confidence, so they're actually pretty important. We had the consumer confidence survey came out for the most recent month, and it was a slightly firmer reading than expected. Market was looking for 100 on it and got 100.2. And also right at the end of the week, we had the final reports from the June Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. We'd had the early reports, and on that, we had consumer sentiment at 65.6. Obviously, the last few reports were much stronger, because the final figure came out at 68.2. It's still off a little bit compared with the previous month, but suggests that there's a little bit of strength running through there. Another indicator which suggests that there's been a little bit of an improvement through June, we had the June Chicago Purchasing Managers Index. This is the heartland of manufacturing. And whilst it's not a strong reading, going back the previous month, it was pretty soft. It was at 35.4. The market was looking for 39.7 on that. We got 47.4, so that's actually quite a big rise relative to expectations. But in amongst that, there are also some relatively soft readings. And in amongst those, we had things like May new home sales. They were down by 11.3%. Pending home sales for May too were soft. They were down 2.1%. They were expected to rise, and that came after a 7.7% fall the month before. Relating to the labour market, always for watching the weekly initial jobless claims, and after lifting over recent weeks up into the 240,000s, which suggests there's an edge of softness starting to creep into the labour market, the most recent figure just came back a bit from 239,000 to 233,000. They're still running higher than they were a month or two back, and are probably consistent with a non-farm payrolls number when it comes out this coming Friday of sub 200,000. Last month it was a very strong reading of 272,000, so maybe a softer edge running through that. We also had revision to Q1 GDP, and it was actually revised upwards a touch from 1.3% annualised to 1.4%. Although interestingly, real consumer spending inside that was revised to 1.5% annualised, down from 2%. So it was other parts, mostly investment spending, which was running a bit stronger, which was helping GDP there just running through the first quarter. So when all is told, and the key figure probably of the week was the May core personal consumption expenditure deflator reading. This is an alternative to the CPI, and one that the Federal Reserve actually prefers when it's looking at what inflation is doing. It rose by, as expected, only 0.1%. And as a result of that, the annual rate of inflation on this measure came down to 2.6 from 2.8. So for the US, we've had the CPI, which came in at 3.3% for the most recent month and was down on the previous month. And we've also had this figure down to 2.6. So this is playing into the story that the Fed does have a chance to start to lower interest rates later this year. But it's probably going to be later in the year, and it's probably only going to be one quarter of a percent they might get away through the course of this year. So just that hope there that's running through. This week in the US, obviously, is going to be a very interrupted week because come Thursday, you've got Independence Day holidays on the 4th of July, and that tends to take out most of the tail end of the week and will probably cloud people's view of the non-farm payrolls number when it comes out on Friday. But some of the other figures, which will be out this week, we'll get purchasing managers' reports. These are the ISM ones, and watch pretty closely. Tonight, we're going to get the June manufacturing ISM comes out, and it's expected to rise to 49 from 48.7, so a little bit of an improvement running through there. The non-manufacturing ISM figure comes out on Wednesday, and that one's expected still to be above 50. It's expected to come in around about 52.5. It was at 53.8 going back the month before. So still fairly firm reading running through those. And then on Friday, on a sort of half-day trading day after the Thursday holiday, we'll get the non-farm payrolls report. It's the most important one, you know, because it details whether we've still got a lot of tightness running through the labour market. And June average hourly earnings, for example, they're expecting to be up another 0.3%. They're up 0.4% the month before. And we had the annual growth rate in wages actually lifted a bit to 4.1% year on year. It's going to hold around that level probably for the month of June. So still too high as far as the Fed's concerned. Non-farm payrolls last month were very strong. They were up 272,000. Market's looking for 180,000. If that's where it comes in, it's just on the border of giving the Fed some flexibility to start to think about cutting rates. And the unemployment rate, which was 4%, going back last month, is expected to stay at 4%. Moving to China, we had nothing really of note until the weekend. And at the weekends, we had the June manufacturing and non-manufacturing PMI came out. These are the official readings, and the manufacturing PMI came in at 49.5, same as the month before, so below 50, below the expansion contraction marker, and still comparatively soft. The non-manufacturing PMI too, the services sector PMI, that came down and a bit more than expected. It was at 51.1 going back the month before. It's come back to 50.5. It was expected to be around about 51. We'll see whether we get confirmation of these sorts of numbers coming through the CAKES inversion. You know, these often looked on as being rather more reliable. And the June CAKES in manufacturing PMI comes out today. That one was at 51.7 going back to the month of May and is expected to come in around about 51.2, so peeling back a bit. The CAKES in non-manufacturing PMI was quite strong going back last month. It comes out on Wednesday and was expected, last month was at 54.0, is expected to still be around about 53.4. You know, if they come in around there, then that's still comparatively firm for that reading. But essentially, yeah, not a lot happening in China until we get a week or two down the track. We get all the regular data coming through. And for the time being, it's still an economy which is struggling with all of its usual problems, you know, relating to the property sector, shadow banking, and all those sorts of issues are still weighing, and particularly weighing on the great expanse of the middle class in China, which is quite big these days, who really don't feel like spending. And so, you know, that's where we're watching things, because the Chinese economy still continues to struggle. In Australia last week, we had, before the horrible monthly CPI, we had the June Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey. That actually lifted for the most recent month. It was up by 1.7%. Admittedly, it's a very low index reading still, after being down 0.3%. Maybe people are anticipating their tax cuts coming through, starting, obviously, from today. Then we had, obviously, that CPI read, which was genuinely quite a shock that it went up as much as it did. So for the most recent month, we had the CPI, and it lifted from 3.6% year-on-year to 4%. The underlying part of it too, the trim mean, actually went up to 4.4%. Now this obviously is way higher than the Reserve Bank is expecting. And just cutting inside, some of the items, maybe we'll get some pullback as we go a little bit further ahead. So one of the key ones there was automotive fuel. That on a year-on-year basis between April and May jumped from 7.4% year-on-year up to 9.3%. There's a chance that, we might get some settling back in that, but it's still going to be, quite well up. But some of the areas we're not going to get much help with are things like rents. Rents did ease a little from 7.5% to 7.4% year-on-year, but, it's still going to be way, way too high. and everything, you know, electricity, for example, even with the support coming through from government, actually lifted from 4.2% year on year to 6.5% year on year. So, you know, even with some assistance running through there, we still got some very, very high price rises running through those. And we've got a whole range of other items which are running in the high threes to fours, including many in big weighting areas, such as many of the food products, for example, when we're looking at fresh fruit and vegetables, 4.4%. Most of the manufactured food items, 4%. So we've got a lot of pressure points which are running through the CPI at the moment, which don't seem to be dissipating. Now, we need to see the full CPI for the quarter, and that comes out later this month, right at the end of July. But that one's showing the sort of price pressure that we saw in this monthly, then it is starting to put pressure back to the RBA to think about a further interest rate hike. So, watching what comes through here. And essentially what's driving our poor inflation performance relative to inflation performance overseas, well, it's we keep on throwing supports in for inflation. The whole idea with the way in which inflation's been moving is you've got to get demand back in line with supply. Our supply is still very, very constrained, and particularly so given that we've got poor productivity change, but we're doing everything to try and support demand. And so not surprisingly, including wages running at 4%, giving away tax cuts obviously from today, all sorts of assistance. The minimum wage goes up 3.75% from today. And that covers a lot of workers. We're putting all sorts of things in place, which and we're saying that it's one side, we're trying to keep pressure off inflation. Well, not really. It's keeping it underpinned. And so that's where the pressure points are coming through on the Australian side. We also had some private credit data came out for the month of May. It's running pretty strongly, and of course there's people trying to get into housing. The fear of missing out is pretty high, and is still keeping house prices very, very elevated, and of course that's another factor which is running through the CPI. This week in Australia, we'll get quite a bit of information coming out. Today we get, for example, ANZ job ads come out. They were down 2.1% last month. They're still up year on year, but they are peeling away a bit, which suggests maybe there's a little bit of softness starting to creep into the labour market. We get Melbourne Institute's inflation gauge. This was running pretty strongly last month. It was up 0.3%. And that's in a month. So, that one was still pretty high. We'll watch that one. We get May retail sales. They were up 0.1% going back to April. Be interesting to see whether they're up again around the same amount in May. It's not that strong, but we really need them to almost be falling to take some of the pressure out of what's happening. On Tuesday we'll get the minutes of the RBA board meeting, and that's the one where at the press conference afterwards, Michelle Bullock mentioned that they actually considered whether they should have raised rates in the middle of June. They decided not to, but obviously the inflation read came after that, and that would have been a bit of a shock when it came out. We get things like May home building approvals coming out. They have been quite soft. They're just starting perhaps to show some signs of lifting. So we're looking for a 1.6% month-on-month increase there after being down 0.3% the month before. And we get June international trade, which has been relatively strong still, even though growth in many of our trading partners is quite weak. So going back a month ago, we ran a trade surplus of $6.5 billion. It's expected to be about $6.7 billion trade surplus again, with a strong showing from the export side. Our exports are holding up pretty well, even though we've got this soft demand running overseas. We move to Europe, and through the course of today, obviously we're going to get more results of the French election. On the early results, it looks like Marine Le Pen's far-right party there is running about 33 or 34% of the vote. That gets them into the second round election very comfortably. It's also a bit of a blow for Macron and his parties. Obviously, he doesn't lose the presidency because that's not up for election. This is purely assembly elections. But it does look as if the far right's doing pretty well. And that's obviously going to be a concern. Another election coming up on Thursday is obviously the UK one. And it looks as if it will go mostly to Labour, and Labour will pick up government. But there are some concerns about how well Nick Farage will do with the far-right party there too. So watching that election as we go through, and that's weighing on sentiment somewhat, because the more these countries move towards nationalist far-right policies, the more likely we are to get constraints on free mobility of labour and free mobility of goods. And of course, that becomes an inflation problem further down the track, and may limit what they can do with bringing interest rates down. As far as the data is concerned, last week we had June business and consumer confidence came out. It was still pretty strong. It was 96.1 going back a month ago. It came back to 95.9, but that's pretty firm. And it's the services which are driving it in Europe, particularly tourism. They're having a very, very good tourist season through the summer there. I say good. Some of them say, oh, we've got too much of this now. It's keeping the locals away and all this sort of stuff. So you can never, when something's going well for the economy, you'll always find somebody who's going to complain. That's basically what's happening in Europe at the moment. Europe this week, apart from the elections, we've got a lot of data coming out. We've got the manufacturing PMIs coming out and the services sector PMI. Both of them, the manufacturing PMI is back to about 45.6 from 47.3. But the services sector PMI in Europe is actually relatively firm. It was at 53.2 last month. Expected to come in around about 52.6, so quite strong. We also get the preliminary July CPI and core CPI. Because the economy in general has been moving relatively softly, and there's been some pressure out of things like producer prices, the CPI there, it had a little bit of a flip last month, but expected to settle back a bit this month. So the annual rate of inflation is expected to come back to 2.5% on the CPI from 2.6, and the core CPI is expected to come back to 2.8 from 2.9. You look at those figures compared with our 4.4, and it explains perfectly why the ECB was able to get an interest rate cut away, and we're actually facing towards an interest rate hike when we're looking ahead. So a little bit better performance there running through inflation. The unemployment rate comes out. That's still very tight. So May unemployment rate is expected to hold down at 6.4%, same as it was the month before, and that's the lowest unemployment rate since the end of last century. More than a quarter of a century ago that we last saw the unemployment rate down at these levels in Europe, and that's obviously still keeping pressure in labour markets. And we get a bit of we get May retail sales data, which look a little bit better, probably about 0.2%. But broadly speaking, through the course of this week, watching some of the local data, none of it's probably going to be really key data as far as the RBA is concerned. We'll be watching the RBA minutes as well, just to see exactly what they were saying. We've also got similar sorts of minutes coming out from ECB and also from the Fed, so we'll be watching some of the detail that comes out of those too. Broadly speaking, it's a lot of watch on politics this week, and particularly, I say, the outcome of the assembly election in France and the UK elections that comes through. So just watching those issues as we go through the course of this week.